Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 per hour in an essential job, plus get money for college. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Did you stay up for the entire game?
I fell asleep at halftime.
No, there you go.
On the couch.
So how are you going to analyze the game if you fell asleep? I knew because you
analyze?
Went silent.
What's
there? There it is. What's there to analyze?
Baylor was
there
better. Gonzaga was fraudulent.
And James Strebel.
Crowned their asses. And my man Scott Drew embarrassed old Mark Few. Kicked his ass right out of Indianapolis. Get back
wow.
to Washington where they don't care about basketball. Get the hell out of here.
On ESPN 680 and 1057.
It's a Wednesday, so Pat Forty coming up just a second here on The Take on ESPN 680. You also know it's a Witch Wednesday. So thank you to Jason and his team for fixing us some lunch today, bringing it to the ESPN Louisville studios. Reminder, carry out curbside delivery, whatever it may be. They have the two locations, Hurstbourne, the other on Brownsboro Crossing. And they have a new menu. How about that? Featuring favorites like the Cali Club, Wicked, and Italian Grinder. It's all at the witchwitch.com, the Witch app. You can get all of that Witch Superior Sandwiches. Pat Forty joins us here on this Wednesday, recovering from the Final Four, the national championship game, the beatdown that we saw on Monday night. And we fly now officially into summer radio, the Derby and other things. Pat, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hey, making it. Had my second virus shot yesterday, so today is truly a bit of a struggle, but I'm getting there.
Yeah. So how do you feel? Just like you're sick for a day? Is that pretty much it?
Yeah. That's been for me. Like basically body aches head to toe. Oof. But you know, if somebody will tell you can sign up for that for a day, and after that you don't have to worry so much, I'll take it.
Yeah, I had to move mine around a little bit because I didn't want it to be right at the latter parts of Derby week, you know. you got to protect what's sacred around here, you know, especially after last year. You know, I might end up in the winner's circle with Diener and Blankenbaker. I don't know what's going to happen, you know. A horse might trample me. I don't know. I'm next to Rinaldi. I don't know what's going to happen on Kentucky Derby. So we shall see. Well, I mean, that game on Monday and then the games on, you know, going back. We talked with you last week. So obviously a ton has happened. I guess let's just start at the very beginning, and then we'll get to Sean Miller. Don't worry, we'll get to Arizona and some of that stuff. But you have the beat down of Houston, okay, and Baylor does the damn thing, and then you have a remarkable game where UCLA just played so great. You had the Sugg shot, and then a national championship game where Baylor just absolutely took Gonzaga out of the game. You wrote about it, obviously, the whole time there in Indy. I guess just general thoughts of some really good basketball that you saw over a couple-day period.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was weird on Monday night because it was such a kind of an anticlimax. I mean, everybody wanted to see these two teams play. They didn't play in December. Everybody was sure they were the two best teams, and then it was just an absolute obliteration, you know. And I'm disappointed that Gonzaga didn't really show up for that game. I am also more impressed by what Baylor did, really. I mean, Baylor played two dominant games in the Final Four, so hats off to them. And I'm thankful that we had the Saturday night game between UCLA and Gonzaga. You know, it's funny. Somebody asked me, and I think it was a legitimate question, whether the fact that Gonzaga then laid a Brontosaurus egg 2 nights later maybe takes a little luster off of that shot, whereas, you know, Leitner's shot led to a national championship eventually. Chris Jenkins wins a national championship, and I think that's probably a legitimate point. But, boy, right there in the time, in the moment, it was fantastic. What a game and what a shot and what a just game the whole thing was for 45 minutes.
I felt bad for Mick Cronin for the first time in my life. I did.
Yeah.
UCLA, like UCLA, did some work against the Zags, right? Like, and Baylor had to see that and say, "Damn, if they can do it, they're an 11 seed. We can do it. We're one of the best teams in the country."
Absolutely. No, I mean, I felt badly for Cronin too. just, I mean, yeah, his team played so well. You know, they battled so hard, and, you know, UCLA hasn't always been what anybody would consider a really gritty, tough program, but it's becoming one now under Mick, and you're in that position, and you get beat by a banked-in 40-footer. That's pretty rough. And, like, if you watch Mick during the replay of that play, you know, he's like waving everybody back on defense, and he starts walking up the court.
Yeah.
And the look on his face when Suggs pulls up, and he just kind of rears back like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing goes in. It was pretty wild.
It was horror. That's what he had. He was fright. That's what he had in his face. Yes.
That's exactly right.
It was unbelievable. I mean, those games, and then on Monday night, Pat Forty with us. Now, I think you were the first one to mention, hey, going back to Saturday, hey, this game has some Duke UK vibes to it. At what point of the game did you think that? Because I think you were the first one to put that on Twitter.
Yeah, I put that out there at halftime, I think, that it really just felt like that to me. And I wrote a whole column eventually describing it. It only went on to be more and more like it by the end. But, you know, it just – Duke was Kentucky. I'm sorry. UCLA was Kentucky. You know, the blue blood power program that was a big underdog to another team was, you know, kind of trying to put things back together. And plays just out of its mind to be right there. And then, you know, one supremely talented guy at the end for the other team says, no, I'm taking care of this. And you have one of those memorable shots for the ages. And then the other thing that was really weird was, like, the statistical comparisons. I pointed this out in the column. Mm-hmm. Duke and Kentucky, 47 assists on 71 made baskets.
It's unbelievable.
UCLA Gonzaga, 47 assists on 71 made baskets.
Yeah. It's absolutely unbelievable. Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated, at by Pat Forty, all the stuff on the website. Obviously, follow him on Twitter. What criticism, if any, is fair for Mark Few? His team, no doubt, did not play their best basketball once they got to the Final Four.
Yeah, no, you know what? That's a fair point. I saw you said on Twitter, you know, that he wasn't getting beaten about the head and shoulders the way Calipari does, and that's, you know, that's a legitimate point. You know, I still think, you know, if you look at it, Baylor was just a more talented team. I don't think there was anybody more talented in the 2015 Final Four than Kentucky was.
Agreed.
You know, so from a talent standpoint, it's not the same thing. But just, you know, for them to get there and really struggle against UCLA, and then we should have known Saturday night, and I kind of knew a little bit, like, okay, you know, I said, even to a couple people, a couple other writers, I said, I think Baylor's going to win. They just look so much better, and look at how much they expended Gonzaga did there. But then by Sunday night when I'm having to pick the game, I'm like, nah, I better just stick with Gonzaga. But, you know, we should have known Saturday night one team was playing at a much higher level than the other.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Mark Few and Cal are, like, direct comparisons. I'm just saying that Mark Few didn't, like, no one even mentioned him. And I just say no one. Like it wasn't a conversation piece. And, I mean, he needed, the basketball gods to save him against an 11 seed. I mean, you know, Johnny Juzang embarrassed them defensively. Yeah. And then, I mean, Baylor jumped higher. They shot better. They had a better game plan. They executed the game plan. I mean, every time that game got down to 9 or 10, Pat, timeout, Scott Drew, boom, done, right? I mean, boom, done. A couple great possessions. It's back to 15, 16, or 17. It felt like Gonzaga knew it, like, early. Like, their body language was bad immediately. You don't see that in a championship game. It was really odd how they just fell apart, and they had that punch at halftime, right? Because at halftime, I thought, we got a game here, right? I bet Gonzaga at halftime after loading up, obviously, on Baylor, and it never just happened. I mean, Cal's team choked down the stretch with Wisconsin. The Nigel Hayes layup was bad luck, but they just, I mean, they choked. There's no doubt about it. But the combination of those two games in the Final Four, Gonzaga was just outplayed for so much of the Final Four. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no. I mean, your points are right. And look, I mean, there's always been a school of thought that Mark Few's teams eventually get uptight. And you could say maybe they did. I mean, Corey Kispert certainly played like he was uptight, especially in the semifinal. In the final, I think I think you are right. I think they knew early they were in trouble. And like when Suggs got his second foul 3 minutes into the game, we all could have left. We all could have walked out of the building. It was over. It was like 9-0, two fouls on Suggs. He was the only one athletic with the athleticism and the toughness to match up. Drew Timmy, holy moly. He's a very good player. But he needs to come back to school and spend 5 months in the weight room, period, and just get a little more aggressive. He got punked inside, especially on the glass, and again, right away. Like the first possession, Baylor misses two shots, and Mark Vidal gets both rebounds because Drew Timmy's just standing there watching. It's like, what are you doing, dude? This is a national championship game. So,
it's unbelievable. Yeah,
they did, at the end there, in that last game, they looked at last like a team that had been way too accustomed to having everything go its way all throughout the regular season. So,
Pat 40 with us. So we did the thing that everyone's done, and that's, you know, talk about the Zags instead of the national champion in Baylor. I guess I want to ask you about Scott Drew. So what does he do? I know you wrote a lot about him, you know, the Indiana job and other things. So Scott Drew gets the championship, and then, you know, a lot of people, and you mentioned it just a minute ago, Pat, about, you know, a lot of people, when it came down to it, you just pick Gonzaga in the game, right? And I said, I wonder if part of that's because we're just not going to believe in Baylor. Like, the Baylor is going to win the national championship. So what does this do for Scott Drew and Baylor as they win, and they win with transfers, right? And they win with transfers, and they rebuild this program, and they're the national champ and not Gonzaga.
Yeah, you know, it's a perfect example of a modern powerhouse. You know, you recruit a cut, like you recruit Jared Butler out of high school, and you have Mark Vidal out of high school, and Matthew Meyer and stuff, but a lot of transfer guys, and you're picking smart ones, and they're, I mean, just really good athletes who are also good basketball players. Your team is big, your team is athletic. Most of all, your team can shoot the three better than anyone in the country, so that is a major plus there. But Scott Drew, it's wild, you know, if you think about it, Andy. I mean, at first, back in the early 2000s, it was like, oh, he's a lightweight. Then it was like, oh, he's a cheater. And then it was, he's a cheating lightweight.
Yeah.
And now, like, none of the criticisms apply anymore. None of them. You know, he's not cheating to get the transfers from Presbyterian and UNC Asheville, I promise. You know, you're not dialing Christian Dawkins for help with those guys. And you take them and you go win a national title. And you kill everybody along the way. It's just, you know, that's really impressive stuff.
No, it is. I'm telling you. It's just. And then he was talking after the game. I'm like, we used to all think he was like slimy, like Scott Drew was like fake Baptist minister or something like that. Like, right? Like Southern minister.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, maybe he's just not a bad guy. I don't know. He's just a Baylor. Like, I don't know. I never really thought about Scott Drew too much until this year, apparently. But that's
the wild case. Like. I mean, I wrote a big story about him last year, and there is some of that where he like just comes across so happy-go-lucky, energetic, you know, let me charm you, that you, and I mean, in our business, in our very cynical business, the natural default reaction is, oh, this guy's a con man, he's
a
fraud,
phony.
There's no way.
Yeah.
But he's like that all the time, all the time. They won the title, they go out and hug everybody. And like 2 minutes later, he's walking in front of the media, and this, you know, doesn't say everything, but it said a lot. He's walking in front of the media saying, hey, thanks for all you do for covering college basketball. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's like, really?
Okay.
Who does that? Nobody.
Oh, goodness. That's great. Yeah, I think I saw you tweet that out and other people. Pat 40 with us here on ESPN 680 105.7. Arizona fires Sean Miller today, and I said that what they did was like not any, they didn't have any honor to it, right? At least Kansas doubled and tripled down, right? At least Kansas, like, we're rolling with our guy. We know there's limitations right now. But Sean Miller, I mean, they fired him, right? Because he's had two or three kind of whatever years. I mean, that's why you've had 3.5-4 years to fire him if it's anything over the NCAA stuff. So they don't get the payoff of saying, hey, NCAA, look what we did. And they've been losing, paying him over $3 million, you know, since that stuff came out in October of 2017. So what do you make of Sean Miller finally losing the job there at Arizona?
Yeah, this, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, give Arizona like a bunch of credit for all of a sudden developing a moral compass. You know, they don't necessarily have one. But sure, the state of the program is absolutely part of the deal. And the state of the program is, he can't keep recruiting and winning because he's been handcuffed by this, and there will be sanctions on the way. So what are we going to do? And why now? I think it's because the national championships game is over, and let's see whether Tommy Lloyd of Gonzaga is the next coach at Arizona.
So that's the guy then. That's the guy.
I would be surprised if it's not, but I've been surprised daily. But, we'll see. I just think there were rumors like late March that he was about on the way out. I mean, like strong rumors. And then they went away. And then all of a sudden, quite frankly, late last night, 11 o'clock, and I've had my vaccination shot. I am tired, and I'm getting ready to go to bed, and I check email, and somebody's saying, Sean Miller is getting fired tomorrow. I'm like, oh, crap.
Wow.
So I texted a few people, went to sleep, got up, no answers, texted a couple more today, have felt like crap, and then all of a sudden, lo and behold, there you have it.
Yeah, Sean Miller done. I mean, he's not coaching for a while, I would imagine, right?
I wouldn't think so. I mean,
for a good while.
You know, I mean, like hiring him would be akin to hiring Will Wade. How are you going to explain that one to your school president?
Yeah.
You're just not. So don't even try. He needs to go coach professionally. And there was a lot of speculation he'd end up going like NBA assistant route like Kelvin Sampson did.
Yeah. No, I would imagine that's probably going to be the case. Pat Forty with us. Taking the Arizona job is pretty equivalent to what Chris Mack took at Louisville, right?
I say there's definitely some similarities there. It's, you know, you're walking into a mushroom cloud, and that for that reason, you're going to have to ask for a lot of contractual security. Tommy Lloyd maybe doesn't have a ton of, you know, he doesn't have the clout that Chris Mack did because he's never been a head coach, but he's the coach in waiting at Gonzaga, which is a darn good job. So I think you can drive a pretty good bargain. Like, why do I leave the most consistent, stable program in the country for your program? You've got to give me 6 years, 7 years, whatever, and a lot of money.
What interested you the most about Huber Davis getting the gig there at UNC?
I think the interesting thing to me is, first of all, this says Roy got his way completely, and secondly, that while he may end up good, and I like him personally, he was great at ESPN when I worked at ESPN, really good guy to work with, but you're saying that a program that had been in decline and had two bad seasons with a head coach who wasn't doing the job by his own admission is now going to get better with his assistant. So you're not exactly saying we're changing things up because it wasn't working. You're saying we're changing things up because Roy walked away and wanted it the same. So, you know, it's wait and see. He may end up good. I put it in similar category to Mike Woodson. Woodson's a little more of a known quantity because he has at least been a head coach, but he was also just purely an NBA guy. So, you know, this is one where he could end up being very good. He could end up being terrible. I don't know.
Pat Forty with us. I guess we'll wrap up with this. Mitchell Hannigan went to Cincinnati this weekend to see you guys as St. Louis Cardinals play baseball. And he went on Saturday and Sunday, and he did not use sunscreen as being a very fair, freckled, fair-skinned young man. And he had a top, three sunburn, Mitch, and he watched the Cardinals get beat down by what is now the hottest team in baseball, the Cincinnati Reds. So, Mitch, you want to say anything to fellow Cardinal fan Pat Forty?
Well, our top of the lineup just went 0 for tomorrow, and so I don't want to get too chesty here. But, I mean, Pat, this happens with the Reds every year, and they always choke. You haven't done anything in the past decade. I'm not worried about it. You shouldn't be worried about it. No one should be worried about it.
No. I mean, please. We're going to all of a sudden get twitchy about the Reds after, six games or something?
Yeah, they swept the Pirates.
Yeah, they swept
the Pittsburgh Pirates, whoever
they
have.
The Pittsburgh Pirates is about like sweeping the Louisville minor league team. I mean,
that's exactly it. Well, Pat, take care. Get some rest. Feel better. Great that you got that second shot. Cannot wait for a couple weeks. I'll be doing that as well. We'll talk with you down the line. Thank you so much.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Pat Forty with us here on this Wednesday from Sports Illustrated on ESPN 680 105.7. There you go.
I just love Mitch's hate for the Reds.
No, he's a UK fan.
He is a UK fan.
He is. I'm mad at Mitch.
I didn't care for him at all until last year when, I just got,
You know what you would be? You would be Rummage's Drew Franklin. That's what you would be.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes,
you guys
absolutely.
Would be, you'd be, you, Rummage and maybe he wouldn't be with Maben. He'd be with Matt Jones. And you'd be right. You'd be Shannon the Dude. You'd be Drew Franklin right now. Instead, you went the Louisville way and you're battling Snicklefritz. That's what you get. It's what you get.
Yeah.
It's what you get.
What
I don't know what to tell you.
Well, tell the University of Kentucky donors to give me more money.
Did Louisville pay you? That's breaking news.
Scholarship money.
He meant scholarship
money. Gotcha.
I
should have
said donor.
Okay.
I should have said what official.
Yeah, I'm like, it's like you get money from UofL? I didn't know that.
How about 40's list? Did you see 40's list over the weekend, though, of like the greatest sporting events he's ever attended?
Yes.
I mean, it's incredible. Like, I was talking about it with a buddy. And, you know, it's like Duke, Kentucky, 92, Tiger, Pebble Beach, 2000, Boise State Fiesta Bowl, 07, the Kick Six, American Pharoah Triple Crown, and then, of course, the Gonzaga-UCLA game. I don't know about you guys, but, like, ties in with the Masters this weekend. I really want to, like, plan a trip to, like, a major for golf.
You should.
Because I've never
it's
like
not too pricey. I don't think it'd be too pricey.
No, and like I don't really enjoy watching golf on TV, but I feel like it'd be just awesome to be there. Like those you might want to send this down to Locke, but like when Tiger was in his prime, like after watching that HBO documentary, like being at Tiger Woods, Pebble Beach 2000, that must have been like an absolute madhouse.
No, you don't have to say anything about Locke. Bleep Locke. He doesn't like.
He's
he doesn't
being mean
like.
And ugly yeah, about Tiger
he
Woods. Just,
he wishes Tiger died.
Yes, it's unreal. Like the guy's in the hospital almost.
He
died,
wishes,
and
he
he's like,
he
"Oh,
died.
It's his fault. Ah, he's beaten. He's a bad. He's evil. He's evil. He's speeding. He's evil. He should have. His legs should have been broken." It's like, good God, Locke, can you just chill out, man. I mean. I don't like Louisville, but if like someone got hurt, I wouldn't be. I mean, he's like taking victory laps that Tiger was speeding. He's happy about it. It's like that's sick. Am I wrong? That's a sick individual.
No, he is a sick individual, man.
He's
sick.
It's like he's happy the guy was speeding and had a horrific accident.
Did you guys see? By the way, DeChambeau's swing doesn't even make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
You haven't seen this?
No.
Oh, Strebel, I can't. We can't do this today with him, Mitch.
I didn't know DeChambeau's.
We can't talk anything with Strebel other than Kentucky sports.
Let's do it right now. What does Strebel have today? Let's go through this.
We've already talked about most of the stuff I've had today. It was Sean Miller.
That's
great. It's Bill Self. It was roster talk about Kentucky. I already gave my Bill Self take why he gets the bag and Sean Miller doesn't get the bag. It's because Bill Self is all shucks to everybody. John Miller's a jerk. I mean, I everything that I had on my mind, we've been able to talk about and go through throughout the day. I know there's more that we can get to, but I apologize. I haven't seen DeChambeau's swing. It's as bad as Charles Barkley's. I didn't know DeChambeau's swing was the,
No, he's a tank.
Topic.
He's hitting like 400-yard balls.
He has no idea.
No,
you haven't seen the video of him. He like hits like what is it like? It's a ton of balls in like no time.
Yeah,
and
he
his
hits
swing
like
looks,
10
it
golf
looks
balls
like,
like 30 seconds.
No, it looks
like
fast.
Happy Gilmore.
It looks like no. It looks like something out of a Billy Madden. Yeah, Happy Gilmore. Obviously,
yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what it looks
well, that's
like.
That's awesome. That's,
you didn't
that's
see
great.
Any of that on the internet. Everyone was talking about that on the internet.
No. Something, I guess I'm following different
something's
people
up
than
with,
your
something's up with you.
No,
you're,
there's nothing
you're,
up.
You're packing it away on Kentucky.
I'm not.
You're packing it away on Kentucky.
I'm not
you're about
away.
Done with Kentucky.
I'm not done with Kentucky.
I think you're flipping. I think
no,
you're flipping.
I just got all hot and bothered over Damian Collins.
You got nothing.
Descriptions.
You ain't got nothing. You're not going to get Walker Kessler either.
I don't really.
Oh,
that
you don't
doesn't
want
bother
him.
Me.
Okay.
No, it doesn't. I came out a couple weeks ago.
You just ditch a five star.
Right.
You got Lance Ware. I know.
He wasn't very good at North Carolina. He averaged like 5 points and three rebounds.
I know. You got Lance Ware.
No,
like I said.
I'm just saying he averaged 5 points and three rebounds.
Jacob Toppin can't dribble.
North Carolina. He's between a better prospect than Walker
Jacob
Kessler.
Jacob Toppin can't dribble between his legs.
A, they don't play the same position. B, I'd rather take Jacob Toppin than Walker Kessler. No, I told you 2 weeks ago, I didn't care about Walker Kessler. They got Oscar Tshiebwe, they got Damian Collins, and then we'll see how the rest works out. I'm not worried about Walker Kessler. He can go to Gonzaga and lose with Mark Few. That's fine. Get beat by 50 by Baylor. Go ahead.
Give me one 9 games this year.
I don't care.
Okay.
Next year, they're going to be fine.
Texas says, bleep, Strebel, you're my guy, but I have kids, a wife, and a full-time job, and I've seen the swing.
Good for you. I did it.
Texas says Jurich and Pitino to Arizona. Listen, no one wants to hire Tom Jurich. I hate to tell these Louisville fans this.
I mean, they all thought he was going to get this big badass AD job when he got fired from Louisville. Like, just wait till when that next school hires him and all the great things he's going to do there. We're all going to have egg on our face, and he's still hanging out in Colorado or wherever he lives.
Texter, here it is. Yeah. Streeble's super selfish. He won't take his kids fishing, won't go cycling with his wife, her giving up her dream, doesn't do any prep for the take.
I didn't know we were going to talk about DeChambeau's swing today. I paid attention to the important stories going on. I didn't think DeChambeau's viral swing was going to be
it. I can't believe you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it. I've seen Tiger Woods news. We talked about that. I paid attention to the top news stories of the day and tried to come in as prepared as I can. I didn't know a one-minute video of a random golfer's swing was going to be
random.
Okay, he's
the meathead of the tour.
He's the meathead of the tour. I didn't know we were going to talk about his swing today. Apologies. I missed it.
Thank you. I will take your apology.
Thank you.
I will take that apology. On the other end, you ready for this? On the other end, Vince Tyre agreed with me. We got to get to that.
Yeah.
You like that, don't
like
you?
That,
Vince,
yes.
And Fred Hina, who retired, was on with Diener today.
Oh, the former UofL, was he the gosh.
Oh, you sank
that.
There's no reason you need to do that.
Trainer.
Thank you for explaining that.
Trainer, sorry.
Louisville fans needed that.
It
was like when Travis Branham explained who Devin Askew was. Well, you know, he's 4 points a game. He averaged three assists and a couple of rebounds. I'm like, I know who Devin Askew is.
He's a crap point
guard who played for Kentucky. The Kentucky is so happy he's gone.
Yes.
So very happy. So I want to get to that. Chris Likes goes to Arkansas.
Yeah.
I want to get to that. An embarrassing article on a Sea of Blue. We can get to that.
Oh.
And we're loaded today. 437-9680. It's The Take. It's Wednesday on ESPN Louisville.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
By the way, breaking news, Fred Hina's retiring.
Yeah.
How about that? The men's athletic trainer for UofL for years upon years.
Louisville's in turmoil.
More attrition on the staff, see? All kinds of off-season problems.
And James Strebel.
I'm just throwing that out there. You know? Another one gone. Was that a voluntary retirement?
Boy, you got nothing today.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
So it's a Wednesday. It's The Take. Andy Sweeney, James Strebel, Mitchell Hannigan hanging out with you. Reminder, this hour is presented by Kroger. Head to Kroger right now for prices that are lower than low on food that's fresher than fresh. You'll find more ways to save on all the fresh that you love with personalized coupons, weekly sales, and rewards like fuel points, all for prices that are even lower than the everyday low. Kroger, fresh for everyone. 437-9680. Is the UPS jobs text line. A couple things. I want to get to this blank. We got to sprinkle in some blank sound here.
I got to hear some of this.
You got to, okay?
I only heard a little taste.
A little taste.
Yeah.
I want to get to this Fred Hina story that he told Diener. But, Mitch, I need to ask you this, okay? Don't get scared, okay?
Okay.
Is Maben okay? He was in it. He was in his car doing a YouTube Live late at night. I don't know if he's going to start buying expensive shoes, which is not an addiction that you want.
No.
Unless you're friends with Dylan Avar and your Coupasan, of which you're not. Okay, so is Maben okay? Because I know you watched his video.
Oh, yeah, it popped up on my timeline. I'm like, what is he doing in his car? And, like, I was so confused.
Well, Maben was in his car at midnight, right?
Yeah, doing a little live stream.
Because he's a night owl.
Yeah.
He is.
God bless him.
I wish I was more. His camera broke for, like, the live stream on YouTube, like,
their show and the
midnight stuff. And it broke. And he was upset because apparently Walmart closes early.
I did not know that. Yeah. So they're not, some of them were 24 hours, right?
So he was missing the 24 hour Walmarts because they couldn't get, his camera fixed or go buy a new one or whatever. So he was just upset about that. But I was so confused.
Now that is confusing. Like, what's going on
here? Why is he in the car?
Well, good.
Jared West takes, like driving down I-65 or something. I don't know.
By the way, you know who's not high on Jared West?
Who?
Jeff Greer.
Jeff Greer?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I will trust.
Yeah, Greer's not Russia.
Jeff Greer.
Yeah, he's not Russia.
Yeah, he covers the card. He does a Louisville-centric podcast, but he's not going to.
What's the name of his podcast?
Floyd Street.
Come on.
Floyd Street's Finest.
There you go.
Yeah, Floyd Street's Finest. There you go. So I know he does a Louisville series, but he's not going to, you know, give you a horse poop and tell you it's roses when it comes to the cards. He's going to tell you the truth. He's a straight shooter.
He is. I'm just wondering, have you ever read anything that Jeff Greer
when he's with the Courier Journal? Yeah. Well, especially when he's with
the Athletic. I just got a subscription like two months ago from the Athletic.
I follow his tweets.
Gotcha. Okay, so Twitter.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I followed Jeff Greer for a while now.
I mean, that's more than he does with you.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, so, I know more about Jeff Greer than Jeff Greer knows about James Strebel. 100%. A lot more.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
It's not close.
It's really not
I know
close.
He was traveling the world until the pandemic and he had to come home. I know he's going to take like a year off to go to Spain and Italy, all these great places. He had great photos.
What's this in reference to? I thought he was selling tree. What's that in reference to?
I don't know.
Mitch, you're groaning into the mic. Mitch, what does that mean? I'm sorry. I mean, I know what he's trying to say, but I'm saying, what were we talking about?
Maven in his car.
Oh. Why do you have to be in a car?
Yeah.
Why would you be in a car? That seems like a spot that people can see you. Why would you be in a car?
Selling tree.
Texas says, run for the roses.
Mitch hadn't been that fan today. Yeah.
Do you think Vince Tyree's typical liberal move to limit fans will finally backfire?
What? He was the one saying we want fans in our building and in our stadium. Like,
well, that was a sound. That was. Do you want to play that sound, Mitch?
The Tyree sound?
Yeah, Tyree was on. It was a Packer in Durham?
Yes.
Okay.
It was Packer in Durham. And I guess they ask about having full whatever.
Full stadium.
I mean, yeah, full stadium.
Yeah, like in Arlington.
Yeah, go ahead.
I still think you're always going to have your diehard fans. I think we have a good sense of how long you're going to run. Well, let me just step back and say, I think you're going to run more analytics than you ever did. I think you're going to look at how long a season ticket holder they've been. I think if there's any data you can pull out of there, did they want to renew last year? Did they take a refund towards this coming year's versus donation. Is there any intel we have from our ticket selling staff as well as our fundraising staff? You know, premium suites, club seats, all those things. We're going to go literally section by section and try to get all the analytics and intel we can to build it up. But, you know, I'm hopeful that we're talking about, you know, hey, we got full capacity. And then just maybe the human nature aspect of it, of some tale of this is that, you know, maybe it is only going to be 75 or 80% of what you thought before. We're not planning on going 100% full out. I know some are in terms of even if they have 100% capacity, but I think we're going to taper it off a bit. We think the premium seats will sell really well. We just think there's going to be some hesitation in some of the season ticket holders where we need to be a little more conservative going in.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, you shut the hell up.
I don't even think about that.
You're sitting there, Mitch, how stunned are you right now?
I think that was a pragmatic,
It was level-headed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, part of it is he's telling you we're not going 100% because we're not going 100% because we can't go 100%.
Yes.
Because it was at Saddlefield, and then Diener immediately after playing that today got a bunch of people calling, this guy's Craig Thorpe. I ain't good.
He's Craig Thorpe part two.
He ain't ever going to. Like that, but it became that immediately. People texting Diener saying, I'm a 19-year-old. I accept to do Craig Thorpe.
I'm not doing it this year because of Craig Thorpe part two.
Yeah.
He lied to us. He lied to his boss. The product last year was yuck. It was awful. And I'm not going to do this shit.
Yeah,
but Diener was getting texts. I've been 19 years, Diener. 19 damn years.
I'm out.
And so I think part of that is true. I think part of that is theater.
Yeah.
But I think part of that is true. Vince Tyra is like, yo, the expensive seats, we're good there, but the common man seat, but we're not sure how many of y'all is showing up.
Yeah, well, so
that's what that sounds, because I think if Louisville had people beating on their door, right, and say, let me in damn Cardinal Stadium, they'd open at 100% if the law, you know, Bashir,
sure.
Daddy Bashir.
Bashir says Louisville, they can
right,
do it.
Mitch, take over McConnell, take over. He's crazy with power, this Bashir. And so I don't know. Has Kentucky said anything about what they're
nothing. Doing?
Like, I'm not bashing Louisville on this. I think
Barnhart's got to go back into hibernation. He popped his head out on Monday. He's got to go back under hibernation for 3 months.
Listen, there's no reason for me to come in here with these lame, old, stale takes on attendance. Okay,
right,
I don't, and that's Kentucky and Louisville.
Oh,
okay,
sure.
and I just don't need it. We understand it. We get it. We know that Johnny Wong is gonna. We know that Jerry Tipton is gonna take a picture
of
a bunch
stadium.
Of empty seats
yes.
When Kentucky plays. You know, whoever. Okay,
Vanderbilt
and we know that Louisville has filled up like once the stripes aren't showing in the end
right,
zone.
The
like,
Adidas,
we get it. We don't need to go through it. I think part of that is. If it's 100%, does it play on people's minds? I think you have had people not pay you for a year, mm-hmm. and now that is different. They're used to, you know, they got a year where they didn't budget for you, and all of those topics. Like Diener's very good at those topics. I am not because I don't own season tickets,
right?
And I don't know a ton of season ticket holders, but I find what he said there being it made sense COVID wise, maybe. But business-wise, them not wanting – I mean, basketball, they're going to be 100%.
Yeah.
They say in October, 75%.
Yeah.
75% on the basketball side.
Well, I guess I didn't
Vince Tyra agrees with this show, though.
How so?
Well, I mean, Scott Satterfield's a topic here.
No, he's absolutely a topic. No,
there's people that are pissed at what he did with South Carolina, and
sure.
you can be. I mean, as a fan, I wouldn't be, but you can be. It's whatever.
Yeah.
And then you have a product that is not really being sold right now.
No, it's not. And there hasn't been a lot of moves in the offseason to make up for that poor regular season. See, I didn't take it as. All right, here's what I'm going to say. I'm not trying. I'm just throwing this out here. So is he using the pandemic excuse to cover the lack of interest in Louisville football right now? Is that what we're saying? Is that what the conversation is?
You can say that. That might.
I didn't take that out of it, but I can see some fans thinking
people
that.
Ain't buying that. Football fans want to be in the damn stadium.
Okay, that's
they want to drink beer, be maskless.
To me, fans, Mitch in this mask. Mitch hates the mask.
He does.
Mitch wants to be Mitch Hannity. I mean, honestly, he is done with the damn mask.
I'm done with the damn mask too. But I'll still wear it and not complain.
Man up and tell the archdiocese.
No, I'm not going to complain about it.
Well, you should complain about it
because that's
you should say I'm a teacher. I'm more important.
It makes people feel more comfortable and more safe. So I will do my duty as a human being and wear it and not throw a hissy fit on social media about it like some do. That's my stance on it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I know. Thank you for that. Thank you for
You're
that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that. I just, I'm interested in the sell job coming up here.
Of and how
because
they're
Louisville,
sell.
Louisville hasn't had one yet.
No,
Louisville
they haven't
football,
had
I mean, we can laugh at Kentucky. Kentucky sells, they oversell. They sell, they're going to be great. And we get it. We talk about it. But I am trying to find what Louisville is what player, what group of players.
They have no identity.
Yeah. I mean, I think
they
were selling coaching staff and culture the first 2 years.
Yeah.
But you can only sell that for so long. Like, one of my takes for this football season was going to be, I forget who it was, Satterfield went on, it may have been Harry Douglas's podcast. It may have been when we kind of had fun with that last week or 2 weeks ago. And it's like, it was an answer. We played an answer about culture. And all of that's fine. I'm not saying that is not important. It is. And that's by far the best thing that Satterfield has done here.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. And quite frankly, it's the best thing that Stoops has done. Outside the 10-win season and some of the NFL
Fell
stuff.
Guys, yeah.
But I don't care about that any longer.
Well, it's moves past that.
Well, it's like
I think fans have moved past. Everything's positive now. These guys enjoy playing football.
Louisville basketball fans are like, we know the NCAA's here,
yeah.
but you didn't make the tournament.
Yeah,
But you did make the damn NCAA tournament, and so I didn't want to get into a huge discussion, but I mean the Satterfield needing to prove it narrative is absolutely right.
It's the best way for me to say it's heating up.
Absolutely right. And Vince Tyree's telling you we're not going to be at 100%. Now I do think part of me believes that that's going to be taken out of their hands.
That they won't be able to be 100%. I don't know, man. I mean,
it is so far in the future, but allowing the infield was a big deal. It is, but it's outside.
It is out.
And usually the infield can hold, what, 60,000?
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to have 10, 15 instead of 70.
It'll be whittled down for sure.
You're going to have mask is outside. I don't know.
That's a good point.
Is Bashir going to nuke the Derby 2 years in a row? I'm asking. We got to get to this Masters update. We have 10 seconds. I don't know, Mitch, if you're saying that on the air or not.
Mel Kiper looks great, by the way.
Mel Kiper just scream in our ear for the last 5 minutes.
Right in their face.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
It's fun.
It's not fun.
It is.
It's a fake holiday.
It's not a fake holiday. What are you talking about?
Mitch, I got all these IG models. He is risen.
And James Strebel.
You know, I got a guy on Twitter.
who told me to kill myself,
and he's talking about Matthew 4:18.
Well, that doesn't
he
make
is
the holiday
risen.
Fake.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Strebel's favorite song.
Yeah.
He loves some of that Jack Harlow.
Well, it's just the beat. I just like the beat.
You like the beat.
I do like the beat.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what you
like.
The
flute. I like the flute.
You like the flute?
Oh.
Kind of flute.
The woodwind.
Wait, is a flute a woodwind?
Pretty sure it is.
But it's the only kind where it doesn't involve wood, right? It's the best way. What do they call it? Somebody help me here.
The oboe, the clarinet.
No, what do they call the wood things that you have to wet? Instruments. Help me here, somebody.
I don't know. The reed?
Is it the reed? I think that's what it is.
I think you're right.
Okay.
Weren't you in band?
Yeah, you should know.
Yeah, but
a bunch of years?
I was in drumline. Like, I was a drummer. I played a real instrument.
Like Lars Ulrich.
You're damn right. Neil Peart.
Yeah, Neil Peart.
John Bonham.
I'm surprised you knew all three of those guys. I'm impressed.
Oh, yeah, man. I used to drum my socks off.
Never heard that. Drum my socks off.
Yeah.
Not sure I've ever heard that. Anyway, this segment presented by BJ Heating and Cooling. Guys, you know, if you pop the AC on and there's an issue, they got you covered. They're on call for those emergencies 24/7, 365. BJHeatCool.com, 812-283-7221. Try the Bryant Mini Split. If you have that room that's difficult to cool down, you don't want to rework your entire system, that's the way to go, because BJ Heating and Cooling, your local factory authorized Bryant dealer, family-owned business, been around since 1984, 812-283-7221, BJHeatCool.com. We got to play some of this Blankenbaker sound. You want to do that now?
Yeah.
How do you want to play this, Mitch? We got a ton. We got to spread it out here over the next hour and 6 minutes or so.
I mean,
we got three Bolshevik blanks.
I mean, I just see blank all over
you
that
see
sound
blank.
Sheet all over the place. I mean, he must have been on. That Gunter Brewer date to Keelan changed him.
It did change
it
him.
It changed him.
Let's play everything.
Let's play first him blaming UK for playing long baseball games.
Okay, yes. Louisville lost to Kentucky last night, and Blankenbaker at 7:05 had a reason.
Yeah, Andy sends me a text. He says at one point last night they had been going 3 hours and 15 minutes, and it was the sixth inning. So I don't know what the final box score and the game time
was. Well, the UK coach, I forget his name.
I believe it was 4.5.
They always play longer.
4.5, yeah. Well, I think,
They play longer games.
UK does?
Yeah, traditionally the Louisville-Kentucky game, and Dan McDonald always has played really fast games. Like, you can get those games in under 3 hours oftentimes under McDonald.
I don't know about that. The Wake Forest game
ended quick
on
Sunday night.
College baseball takes a long time. I mean, let's I know you want to blame Kentucky for everything, but longer game time.
That's his style. I mean, yeah. It just is. It's not really a blame type thing.
It's not really a blame.
That's
type
one
thing.
Of the saddest things I've ever heard. We allot 4 hours for Louisville baseball, and it often goes over.
I was gonna say, ask Jack Grossman, who runs Louisville baseball games, how long they take.
They're marathons.
Mark.
College baseball games are marathons.
I mean, just
there's not many commercials either.
Dan McDonald's style is to play fast. Like, how do you play baseball faster?
But he has no research. He
None.
Just threw that
he
out.
Threw
does
it out
does
there.
Anyone have Mitch? That's what we need. We need an intern to give that as a job.
Yeah.
That we can just.
Track of Louisville baseball time.
Right. No, yes, that's what.
To this go, asked Grossman to do
to
it.
Go back. Go Cards, I'm sure, and UK Athletics have it on.
Yeah. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, dragged on because that's the way, I don't know his name, the UK baseball coach, that's how he plays. He tells his pitchers to take 5 minutes per pitch. I mean, come on, Mark. Come on. He wasn't. He had one Louisville baseball retweet right before the game started. Silence. Silence after that. He didn't say a word.
Texas says, how are you guys celebrating National Beer Day? Yeah, what are you doing for that?
I'm drinking beer.
Well, no, I'm tonight. You got anything special planned?
No, nothing special. Just,
is wife working?
No, she's not. She's off.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's a five-night stretch. She's tired. She's off. So it's not like she's going to be up for doing much of anything anyway. So, you know.
Texas says, flutes are made of brass, aluminum, or skin. Texas says, Mitch being in a band makes much more sense. Texas says, okay. Nick Valvano said he was topping Mitch. It's a read.
Oh. Okay.
Yes, I see the flute. Yes, I see.
There's lots of flute talk.
Texas says, Maga Strebel doesn't want to wear a mask.
No, I'm double vaccinated, and I've had COVID, but I'll wear the mask.
Well, that doesn't change. That doesn't change what the guy was saying.
Yes.
Yeah, but him calling you Maga Strebel and you saying I'm vaccinated and I have
has
a fully vaccinated
no,
doesn't really fight any of that
that's
off.
That's not my that's nothing political at all. That's all health and science. That's nothing political about that.
So Mitch, what do you want? You want to play the open here in about 3 to 4 minutes or so? You want to play some more of this sound?
Yeah. Do you want to do one Bolshevik blank here?
Oh yeah, let's do a Bolshevik blank. Yeah, go ahead. Let's play one. Let's go.
Bolshevik Blinkenbaker.
Do I want to watch Portland football with a coach I don't like?
Yeah.
I think people like Satterfield, though. I think they're hurt by
I think they soured. The
South Carolina thing. I think it definitely hurt people. And, you know, there wasn't a bowl game to recover in.
Yeah.
There wasn't, you know, the basketball didn't cover up anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, Scott Satterfield, like I said, he owns three properties in the state of Kentucky. He just bought a new lake house.
Yeah.
In Lake Nolan. He's not buying the Nolan Lake house if he's trying to go to the Carolinas.
You wouldn't think.
I wouldn't believe.
No, you wouldn't think.
I'm speechless.
Mitch, the music was loud. Can we play that dry?
Yeah.
I just want to hear everything.
No, it's fine. I just want everyone to, especially if you're listening on AM radio, this is already in the sound bracket for next year.
It is. It's a top three seed. I think that's a top three seed in the sound bracket next year.
Oh,
He has – he's gone full red. I'm not just talking cargo red.
Here's it dry.
Talking points.
Here's it dry. Save that.
Do I want to watch Fortwin football with a coach I don't like?
Yeah.
I think people like Satterfield, though. I think they're hurt by
the
South Carolina thing. I think it definitely hurt people. And, you know, there wasn't a bowl game to recover in.
Yeah.
There wasn't, you know, the basketball didn't cover up anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, Scott Satterfield, like I said, he owns three properties in the state of Kentucky now.
What do you mean?
He just bought a new lake house.
Yeah.
In Lake Nolan. He's not buying the Nolan Lake house if he's trying to go to the Carolinas.
You wouldn't think.
I wouldn't believe so.
No, you wouldn't think.
Oh my God.
I mean... Chris Mack's got some work to do.
Like, I'm physically, I was laughing so much, my diaphragm's in pain. The abs I don't work out are in pain right now.
All Chris Mack needs to do is whichever new assistant coach he hires, he needs to go to a race with Mark Blankenbaker, and then he's back. All this Mac. I'm
Mac
done with
needs
Mac
to
stuff.
Take Blank.
He,
you're right.
He got
he
to
needs
take
to take Blank to Keeneland.
Keeneland. He goes, and he'll come
exactly
on. Well,
right.
You know, Mac, actually, people love him.
Pegues is a star.
Pegues is great.
It was Luke Murray's fault. It was Luke and Dino's fault.
It was Luke and Dino's fault and Ada Gahan, and they're gone. It's their fault. Bobby Pettiford sucked. Chris Mack's the greatest. That's all he needs to do. Just go, go to Keeneland with Mark Blankenbaker. He will come, and he'll take all of your water, all the gallons of water on his back, and he'll carry it up Mount Everest for you.
You know the people that,
Mount Everest.
You know the people, like, back in the day, they would show people leaving a river, and they would have buckets full, and they would be able to balance them on their head, and they would be able to walk up hills and volcanoes.
Yes, that Mark will do that for Chris Mack. You got to get working. You got to get just get.
To Wait, whoever. So Satterfield next to Mack? You know what? Let's discuss it after.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's hit the open. Does Satterfield and Mack have a lake house together? Find out in 60 seconds.